This is the second test. This is Margaret Spavira. I'm here with Janice Ayers in her home in Brownsburg, Virginia. It's January 14, 2008. And Janice, can you tell me your full name and when you were born?
Emily Janice Wade Ayers, and I was born April the 21st, 1934.
And how long have you lived in Brownsburg?
Since 1966.
Okay. So you weren't born here. Where were you born?
I was born about 3 miles from Brownsburg.
Oh, well, you didn't come a long way then.
No, I didn't come a long way, and I lived there until I moved to Brownsburg in 1966 when we bought the Bet Patterson farm at the Hayes Creek Bridge, and I still live at the same location. Kim married Scott Heslop in 1979, and my husband Jim died of a heart attack at church in 1995.
Okay. Janice, tell me who your parents were.
Elizabeth Swope Wade and Bud Wade.
And where did they live before they moved here to Brownsburg?
My mother, Lisbeth, lived about 3 miles from Brownsburg, below the Rock Ridge Middle School. And she came to school in Brownsburg when it was Brownsburg Academy. And she either rode a horse or drove a buggy or walked. And she graduated in 1925.
And your dad?
He went to Brownsburg, but I'm not sure whether he graduated or...
Do you know when he was born?
19 and 1.
And that's Bud Wade.
Bud Wade.
Okay. And you, I don't think you really told me why they moved here.
They didn't live in Brownsburg. They lived in the area.
Oh, when you moved here, they didn't move.
They didn't move.
I got
they
you.
They lived, and they still lived
so they
in
stayed
the
there.
Blackway Chapel mm-hmm. area.
Okay, very good.
That's where my daddy was. My daddy and my sister and myself were all born at the same house, same location.
What's your sister's name?
Betty Jean.
Betty Jean Wade?
Wade Moeller. She married George Moeller.
Okay, and do you know who your grandparents were, your father's parents?
Harrison Love Wade and Virginia Catherine Swisher Wade.
And they were living at this place where your daddy and you were born. And, okay. When you moved here, what brought you here?
Well, as I said earlier, we bought the farm from Bet Patterson.
Was this after you were married?
Yes.
Okay.
And we got married in 1957.
And your husband's name, I know you said it. Say it
James
again.
Hansford Ayers.
Okay. Did you come here to farm?
Sort of. I guess we were small-time farmers. We both worked at VMI full-time. I worked in the athletic department for 28 years, and he worked in the biology department for 20 years. So we just had cow, calf, pigs, sheep, and then after our daughter Kim married a farmer, Scott Heslop, we just let him do the farming.
I see. Good idea.
He had all the machinery.
Okay. Let's see, where did you go next?
Fun things to do in Brownsburg, our first memory in Brownsburg.
Oh, okay. Tell me about your first memory of Brownsburg.
Well, I was vaccinated in the basement of the now Dick Anderson home before I started to school. And the fun thing to do was come with my daddy to his barber shop and go to the phone office which was located over the bank, and watched Miss Maddie Wade work the switchboard. Now that was really interesting.
Why was that interesting?
I don't know. She'd pull out all these wires and put them, you know, depending on, and it would light up when mm-hmm. people would call. She'd transfer the calls. I don't know. It was just interesting to see it all
and
light up.
And she did it all by herself?
She did.
Wow. And where was your father's barber shop?
When he first started in 1922, he started lathering up faces for Mr. Harlow, who was a barber in Brownsburg, and that led to his opening of a barber shop in the back of Soup Hanger's store, which is now the old South Antique store.
Okay.
And in between haircuts, he would drive a school bus, which was privately owned back then. He'd pick up the kids, and he'd let them off at school, and then he'd run to the shop and cut a few heads of hair and then take them home. And he said it was a busy, and he was pretty busy when Brownsburg was a thriving community. And in the 50s, after John Layton Weitzel moved the post office to his grocery store, Bud Wade's barbershop was moved up the street in the Dr. Tom Bosworth building, which is now owned by Catherine Gillum.
The house she lives in, or the house, the
no,
building?
No, the building. The building beside, okay. The building beside mm-hmm. of it. That's where the post office was.
Oh, I see.
And John Layton moved it up to his store when he became the postmaster.
Okay.
And Daddy also had a pool table in his shop, he said, for the boys and the men to give them something to do while they was waiting for a haircut. And he used to say that on Saturday night it could get a pretty, they could get pretty rowdy and they'd have a few scrapes, but nothing real big. And if they were little fellas, he would step in and break it up. And I even heard that he could patronate the door if they were little. But if they were too big to separate, he just let them fight it out. And then in 1982, when he was 81 years old, he closed the shop. And my daughter Kim Ayers Heslop moved Daddy's chair and pool table to her basement.
Does she still have them?
She still has mm-hmm. them.
Great.
All his supplies.
So he started, I think you said, in 1922, working for someone else.
And John, Mr. Harlow.
And where was Mr. Harlow's shop?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
And I've tried to find out, but I don't know where he started.
Was he still in business when your father opened his own shop?
I don't think so.
And so he started his own business then.
He started in. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you came to Brownsburg, you went to the phone office because you liked to see the operator work there. Did you?
That's when I was a kid.
When you were a kid. Did you ever hang around the barber shop, or was that strictly male, or what?
It was mostly men, but Daddy did cut women and girls' hair,
did
too.
He?
But no, I'd usually, if I came, I'd go up there mm-hmm. and watch her or tinker around doing something else.
Okay. Did you go to school in Brownsburg as well?
I did. I started the Brownsburg School, and I graduated in 1953.
And did your husband go to school there also?
He did. He also graduated in 1953. And he went into the Air Force for 4 years and then came out and worked for the biology department for 20 years. And I remember when we went to Brownsburg, we had a good, or I thought it was a good, girls' basketball team because we won 2 district titles, which was pretty good for a little school. And we got gold basketball necklaces, and I think which a lot of the girls still have today. Mm. And we thought it was big time playing our district games in the VMI Fieldhouse, because it seemed huge after playing in our small gym.
I can imagine. So that was in the early 50s that you were the championship basketball team. That's great. What people do you remember in particular from your school days in Brownsburg? Do you remember any teachers particularly, or any of your classmates who were particularly entertaining?
We had 17 in our class. And I remember when we were in grade school, we had a principal named Miss Trimmer. And you could hear a pin drop when she walked down the hall. And if the boys were making noise in their bathroom, she'd knock on the door and go in. She really was a disciplinarian. And the gym floor, we had to walk around. We couldn't walk on it because we, not with our regular street shoes on. And then Mr. Berger and Mr. Fitzwater and...
These were all teachers?
Teachers.
Who was your basketball coach?
Miss McManus and Miss Jones.
And would they teach as well?
They did. And they lived in Lexington, I think, in Grove. And then Mrs. Buchanan, who lived here in Brownsburg. And Miss Ward, one of my neighbors, did not teach me, but she taught the first grade in Brownsburg. And then a Mrs. Williams taught us in the third grade. And I remember if you didn't know your multiplication table or any of the states or capitals, she'd draw a little circle on the board, you know, stand up there with your nose in it till you could learn. She was a disciplinary too.
I guess so.
Most all the teachers were.
Now, was it because of your basketball that you worked for sports at BMI, or was that just a coincidence?
Just a coincidence. I graduated, I went to Dunsmore Business College, and after I graduated, I was looking for a job, and it happened to be an opening in the athletic department. So I worked there and then in cadet affairs for 28 years. So it was a good place to work.
Yes, so I understand. Where do you want me to go next? We have one of these questions is about World War II. Did you have anything, any memories of World War II?
No.
Okay. That's what the no means up here, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were asking you about changes during the time you lived here, but that can include changes since the time you came here to go to school, you know, as a child. And by the time you moved here in the 60s, was it very different? It must have been.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't remember all of them. Because, as I said, they had the switchboard in the phone office. And then before we came back, they had the telephone system. It's changed names several times.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the post office has moved down the street from John Layton's to present location.
When you came here in the 60s, were there still stores in Brownsburg?
Huffman store and John Layton's store, I believe, were the only ones.
Mm-hmm. And the post office.
And the post office was in John Layton's store. Until he retired, and I'm not sure what year he retired.
And your father was still running a barbershop, you said, till
1982.
So he was still had a business. Was he still driving the school bus?
No, I've forgotten what age he quit driving the school bus, and my mother was his substitute, so she started driving.
Yeah. Good.
The water system.
Okay, tell me about the water system.
Well, when we moved here in 66, most of the houses were supplied water from Reese's Spring.
Where, do you know where that was?
It was where the West Ayersley Farm is now.
Oh, okay.
And it was gradually getting lower, and of course people used a lot more water back in 66 than they did in the 40s and the 50s, because And so in August of 66, 17 families using the water met at the Brownsburg School, and we discussed what we could do. Instead of every family digging a well, it was decided that we'd form a corporation, buy stock, and dig a well. But in November of 1966, Jack Heslop, who worked for the Cunningham ladies, reported that the Cunninghams, who owned land in Brownsburg, were willing to give the corporation land with a well already on it. And then their masons built the brick building for the electrical supplies. And that's how the Brownsburg Water Corporation got started. And now the corporation has three wells and 30-some users. One of the first stockholders and users was Miss Margaret McCormick, who lived where the Brownsburg Museum is today.
Oh, really? Now, you said they built a brick building for the electricity?
Mm-hmm.
And is that still in Brownsburg?
It's still. We still use it. It's right up above Walter Lunsford's.
Okay. And did they put in the piping, too, at that time?
Everybody had pipes running from the spring, so they just connected it up there and disconnected it from coming down the road.
Okay. And this was done, tell me again, when was this done?
1966.
Okay.
But since then, I don't remember what year, we have laid new pipelines down through Brownsburg and also up Sterrett Road. Some of them have hooked on. That's how we got 30, so.
Well, that's a real plus for the community to have that.
It sure is, because it runs by gravity.
Mm-hmm.
When the current's off, we still have water.
Yeah. And you get good water pressure, your showers and all?
We do.
Work fine?
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's interesting. That's something I hadn't heard from anybody else. That's very interesting. And there was something else that you wanted to tell me about, besides the water. Do you remember? Maybe it was your, barbershop.
The barbershop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the two things that I knew more about. Anything else that went on in Brownsburg, working full time and trying to farm, just the three of us,
The three of you being your husband and your daughter?
Mm-hmm. And so it kept us pretty busy, and we had a big garden and
Did you put up a lot of vegetables and things?
We did. That's one thing I missed today.
What?
My husband was a good gardener, and he'd come in any time with three bushel of beans.
Mm.
He'd be there, and we'd have to fix them, freeze them, pan them, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since I'm the only one here, I don't do all that work.
Mm.
So when somebody comes, I don't have much to eat, because I don't freeze and can like I used to. And I remember when I was at home, when we didn't have electricity, and company would come, and Mom would have to go out and catch a chicken and kill it and clean it and fry it for lunch. I don't think I could ever get lunch today if I had to do that.
She didn't teach you how to do that?
Well, I could do it, but I don't think I could. We might have supper, but not lunch.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm going to stop for a minute.
Yeah, tell me about your neighbors.
Well, in 1966, Dr. Hutchison, a former pastor in New Providence, lived across the street. And Elizabeth Ward, who was a longtime teacher, lived beside of me. And Mrs. Jim Wade up back. And she gave piano lessons to a lot of young people. And they would just walk down from school and take the lessons and walk back and catch the bus home.
Was she a relative?
No. No. And Bernice and Harvey and I lived across the creek. And they moved to Brownsburg the same year we did.
Okay. Tell me about the, I'm not going to say it correctly, the McElwee Chapel.
Well, I grew up in McElwee Chapel. And I still attend there.
Is that a Presbyterian church?
Presbyterian. We are a branch of Bethesda.
Oh, okay.
We have the same minister.
Mm-hmm.
But we just have services. We have Sunday school at night and preaching at night. They have it in the morning.
Where do most of the parishioners there come from? Are they right in that neighborhood mostly? I mean, do people from Brownsburg go out there to church? I've only ever heard of people going to New Providence, so I wondered where the line was, kind of.
I think it's sort of where you...
Do you want to do that? I can stop this.
I'll just look and see here.
All right, Janice, tell me about the McElwee Chapel and how it came to be.
Well, in the early 1900s, William McElwee, who was the pastor at Bethesda Presbyterian Church, would come to the Oak Hill School, which a lot of, I didn't go to school there, but my sister did in the first grade. And he thought that they had enough people participating in services there that they could build a church of their own. So all of the people that went there got together. They cut wood and logs and had them planed, and they built the church.
And this was in what year?
1905 is when they finished it.
And you said your grandparents had a part in this?
I did. William Harrison Love Wade and his wife Virginia Catherine. She was a swisher before mm-hmm. she married Granddaddy, and she would go around in the buggy and collect money or whatever else they needed to build the church. And that's how I got into McElwee Chapel, and that's why I go there today. And it was sort of funny. When we moved here, a couple of the people came and visited us and said that the house we bought went with New Providence Church, and we'd have to go to New Providence now. And my husband said, I don't think so. He said, I didn't see that in my deed. And so he said, I think we'll continue to go to McElwee. Not only you want that in there or not.
Sure, that's good. So your husband had gone there too all his life, is that right?
No, he went to Bethesda.
Oh, okay.
But after we got married, then he started going there. It's a small, we only have about 20, 30, 35. And it's the people that live in the community and or have family buried in the cemetery.
Hmm. And you have a window there. Tell me the names on the window that your family gave.
Lisbeth and Bud Wade.
Your parents?
My parents and my sister and her husband, Betty Jean and George Moeller and Jimmy and myself and Scott and Kim, my daughter.
So that's your whole family, basically.
And Julia and Toria Hessler.
And who are
Kim's daughters.
Okay.
If you'll cut that off, I would like to do a little...
Okay, tell me about life during the Depression as you remember it.
Well, I was only 6 years old, so I don't remember very much. And I don't think it affected our family because we raised just about all our food and we burned wood and used it to cook with.
Did you collect wood in the woods?
We did.
You collected your own?
We did. We cut our own wood. So we didn't have much connection with the outside world.
Did you have cattle for chickens? And
we did. We had chickens and hogs and cows, because Mom and I milked eight cows, and I'd milk four and she'd milk four, and we'd have to carry the milk to the house and go back and get more buckets. And then before we went to school, every morning I had to milk those four cows and separate the milk. We had a hand separator. You had to turn by hand, and then after we'd finished, we'd take the milk down to the hogs, because we lived on a hill and everything we did was at the bottom of the hill, so we got our exercise in. And then we'd take the cream to the spring house because we didn't have a refrigerator, so we'd put it in the water to keep. And we sold cream, and then I'd have to come back to the house, wash the separator, get it ready, and then I'd have to take a bath, eat my breakfast, and be ready to catch the bus by 7:30.
Wow.
And then if we had basketball games or whatever at school, I still had to do my share of the work. When I got home, it was waiting for me. I had to do that before I could go play basketball.
So you would do that before you played basketball at night?
We would. Mm-hmm. I would. And sometimes we even had to walk to Buffalo or Brownsburg and catch the bus.
Now, what kind of bus would that have been?
A school bus.
Oh.
School bus.
That would take you to your game?
Game. And then at night they let us off at Buffalo. I had neighbors that also played. And we'd walk home, and we'd always run by Microwave Chapel. And somebody said, "Why do you run by Microwave Chapel?" Because those people are dead and they won't hurt you. But we did.
Scared you somehow, I guess. When you said you took the milk to the hogs, does that mean you fed the milk to the hogs, you only saved the cream to sell?
That's right.
Did you drink milk yourselves?
We did.
Yeah.
And the fun thing was, when you were milking and you had company, if somebody was standing there with you, you'd squirt the milk in their mouth or in your own. And you milk, whether it was raining, snowing.
Well, yeah, the cows have to be milked, don't they?
That's why I wouldn't want to run a dairy. And I'm glad I don't have to do that. When we moved to Brownsburg, we didn't milk cows.
Mm-hmm.
We fed them, but we didn't milk them.
Did you grow them for meat, or?
Yes.
Yeah. Who did you sell the cream to? Do you know?
Clover Creamery in Lexington.
How did that get to them?
Somebody would come by and pick it up and take it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd get a dollar or two for the cream.
Now, we started all this with the Depression. Is that how you had cash in your family, was from the cream you sold?
It was, and then Daddy working, cutting hair.
Oh, right.
And driving the bus.
Do you know what he charged for a haircut in those days?
I think it was 25 cents for a haircut and 10 cents for a shave.
Shave and a haircut, two bits? I remember hearing that somewhere. So, and he drove the school bus. You said it was a private company that ran the school bus?
They were privately owned.
Oh, so it was, he owned the school
bus? He owned the school bus.
So who paid him to take the children?
The county, and I've forgotten what year the county took over the bus routes. And then my mom, when she retired, she was still driving, but she was driving a county bus.
Did they buy your father's bus when they took it over?
No, it was too old, I think.
Okay.
I think they got new ones.
Interesting system. What have I not asked you?
The bad things that happened while I've been in Brownsburg.
Okay.
And one was they closed the school, Brownsburg School, and tore it down.
Do you know when that was? Do you remember?
No.
Did Kim go to the Brownsburg
school? She graduated from Rock Ridge Middle School when it was a high school.
But
she went to Brownsburg. They changed, and I'm not sure, we'll have to find out what years they changed Brownsburg to a middle school. When it was closed, it was a middle school.
Oh, okay. But she went there to
the
elementary
school, and then she went to Rock Ridge for high school.
Oh, okay. But she went, now, where did she go to elementary school?
Brownsburg.
So she went all the way through, what, eighth grade in Brownsburg?
I think that's what they did. I'll have to check on that. I'm not sure, but I think it was.
But later, by the time they closed it, they didn't have the elementary school there anymore?
No, they closed it when they made Rock Ridge Middle School
a middle school and built a high school up in Lexington.
Why was that a bad thing that the school closed? What do you miss about having a school?
I don't know. It was a landmark. It's been there since 1938, I think, the year. And we went to school there, and it was just kind of sad.
I think you told me that the Oak Farm School...
Oak Hill School
was moved there. Tell me about that.
It was below where McAwee Chapel is. And a lot of the children went there for grade school. I'm not sure, maybe first and second, third grade.
Is this your parents would have done that?
No.
We were talking about the Oak Hill School, but we will come back to that at another time. Janice, you said there was one other bad thing that happened besides the school closing, and that was?
Losing our bank in Rockbridge.
Was that something, did you do a lot of business with the bank?
I didn't. I banked in Lexington because I worked up there every day. But our cemetery, McAwee Cemetery, had their account there, so I did deal with it.
And so they had to move that account somewhere else?
Over to Fairfield, and then now it's B&T, I think, it's changed hands.
Many times, I think, all those banks. Okay, what else can we talk about your experiences in Brownsburg? Who were your friends in high school or grade school, if you remember? Any people that are still around?
May Withrow, who lives, she married a Kirkpatrick, and she lives in the Lone Mill area. Janet Reese Moneymaker, who lives outside of Brownsburg. Ann Beard, Ann Swisher Beard.
You went to school with Ann?
In fact, we played basketball together the same way with Janet.
That's pretty amazing to have such a good team from such a small school, really.
It was.
Did most of the girls like to play basketball? Or?
They did.
Yeah.
And we didn't play, we didn't have a team when we were in the grade school. We just played, and we had outside baskets and outside court. And we played volleyball outside, and then we had softball team. We didn't have many sports, but basketball was the one that we just happened to have a lot of good girls. Doris Lunsford, Doris Blackwell Lunsford.
And did the boys have a team also?
They did, and they did really well too. I don't think they won district titles, but they did.
Now, when you played basketball, you played the old half-court rules, right?
We did.
Can you tell us about that for people who aren't as old as we are that remember it? What were the girls' rules in basketball?
Well, you couldn't go. We had three forwards and three guards, and you could just go to the half-court line, that's all. So you didn't have to run the whole court. I'm not sure I could play basketball today and run the whole court. But
you could have them.
Yeah, I could have them, yes. But it was easier because you just had six people on one end. Well, I guess.
Yeah, today it's only five, even for girls, right?
Well, yeah. Five. It would be 10, I guess.
Right.
All on one end, fighting for the ball.
Right.
But it just seemed like it was easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure the courts were as big then as they are now.
You said the court at VMI seemed so big. Was it actually bigger, or was it just
I'm sure it was.
It was. The boundaries and all were bigger. That must have been an adjustment to play there.
It was.
Yeah.
It used a lot more energy.
Did you play any other sports?
Volleyball and softball.
Mm-hmm.
But It was just an average team, I guess.
But did you play against other schools? It was...
Yeah, we played Fairfield, Natural Bridge,
mm-hmm.
Goshen, Effinger.
Did they give letters in those days? Did you have athletic letters? Did you get
letters?
We did. Letters?
Sweaters.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let me stop. Janice, I want to thank you for... tell me about how your family got places when you were a kid.
Well, we had a car, and as I said earlier, we had a school bus, which was privately owned. And, of course, as a kid, we didn't do much going, except to school and church, maybe visit kin people. We raised just about everything we ate. We had a big garden, chickens, hogs, sheep, and cows. And we'd pick berries and cherries. We'd go to Wade's store in Busburg on Saturday night and take eggs or chicken or cured side meat or hams to exchange for sugar, coffee, or cheese. We would take grain to Harold Wade's mill, where Bill Dunlap lives now, to have ground into flour and cornmeal.
Anything else? Did you ever go to Lexington as a child? Or did you stay out in the country?
We went to Lexington and Stanton, but not very often. It was a treat.
Back was it?
Then. Now it's an everyday occurrence.
And not such a treat, right? Okay, thank you. We're going to stop now. We're going to come back and talk some more. But thank you, Janice, for all you've told us. It's really been interesting.